commissioned by the researchers on the analysis for the fourth quarter expenditure report. And then we will deliberate on whatever issues arise from there. But before that, let me welcome you all, and then find out if we can deal with your apologies. Yes, Zambi.
Good morning, honourable members. We have an apology from the chairperson, who's off sick. Honourable Ntlangwini, who's also off sick. Mr. Sheikh Imam, who's attending oversight with the police portfolio committee. And then the standing apology of an alternate, Mr. Mania.
Honourable McLaughlin.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Topham is on his way. He'll be here in a few minutes' time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me hand over to the presenters to lead us in the presentation, with the presentation.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, our colleagues. My name is Pelelane Dlomo, the researcher of the committee. With me is Mr. Musa Zamisa, the researcher for the committee as well. Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity to present our analysis based on the fourth quarter expenditure report that was tabled by National Treasury a few weeks ago. As we have identified the departments that we thought needs to be interrogated by the committee going forward, we also took a view that said the committee took a decision to say we must also look at the SOEs, the entities rather of each of those departments that would have been identified. And so, Chairperson, that brings us to the point where we say we've got two presentations that we're going to be presenting before members, and we are going to be guided by the chair whether we can do those presentations at once, or we do the first presentation, members interrogated, then we move to the next presentations. We'll be guided by the chairperson and members on that one.
Okay. I suggest we take all presentations and then deal with them jointly. Is that okay? All right.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. In identifying this department's chair, we were guided by the program of the committee. We said to us we've got about six slots for the committee hearings. And so we just went for the six departments that we thought they were key, and of course based on certain reasons and issues that are going to be raised by the presentation, were identified. The first department chair being public enterprise, the second department being small business development, the third being basic education, water and sanitation, correctional services, the last department being transport. So Musa will then take us through, Chair, on section A, through the analysis of the first three departments that I've just outlined on the list. Thanks, Chair.
Good morning, members. Good morning, colleagues. And good morning, guests. Thank you, Pelelane, for the introduction. Chairperson, maybe I need to reiterate the point that was raised by Pelelane, that in this analysis, basically what we did We looked at the fourth quarter expenditure performance of national departments, but we also used other documents, you know, as a basis for the analysis. What we did, we looked primarily on the departments that have not spent very, very well, you know. Some of the departments, primarily the first three that I'll be presenting, they are characterized by significant underspending. And then some of the departments, especially the ones that will be presented by Philelan in the next section, were characterized by over expenditure. And we thought the issue of over expenditure has to be given a very importance that we give to the under expenditure as well. Also, in addition to using the level of expenditure as a criteria for selecting departments, but we also thought, let's look at the significance of these departments, the mandate that these departments play, you know, in government as a whole and in society as a whole, and also in implementing the NDP. And also, let's look at this department in terms of the SOEs, because they've got SOEs that report to them. You know, for instance, when you look at the Department of Public Enterprise, as the name suggests, it oversees very critical state-owned enterprises. And today we know why it is important to put SOEs under the radar of the committee and government as a whole. So in this presentation, I'll just focus on the Department of Public Enterprises, as it is shown on the slide, as well as small business development, as well as basic education. Public enterprise, I think I mentioned why it is important. And then small business development. We also believe this one is very important, especially against the backdrop of the ongoing technical recession, because as we all know, small businesses and cooperatives, they're supposed to play a very key role in terms of reigniting the economy and taking out the country out of the technical recession that we find ourselves in. So the question that we're asking ourselves in this presentation is, has the Department of Small Business Development played this role? Has it really created a conducive environment for SMMEs to thrive and also to create jobs in the country in terms of the budget that was allocated by the committee? It is, I don't know whether we still have to say it's a relatively new department. I think it's more than three financial years now, you know, so I think I'll leave that to the members. And then basic education plays a very critical role, I mean, in terms of social spending, you know, issues of eradication of mud schools in the Eastern Cape, the school nutrition program, I think it was on the news in a couple of days, even yesterday, I think it's something that we will talk about, you know. So on the basis of that, we said that these departments, we cannot leave them outside of this presentation. And then I will just go to the next slide, which gives you an indication of how these departments performed. But what we try to do is also to track their spending performance over the past five-year period. As you can see, I'm sure the colors are very clear. I think I'll just start with the Department of Small Business Development. Here we just used percentages just to summarize, but we'll also talk about monetary values where it is very important. As you can see in the graph, on the graph, the Department of Small Business Development, as you can see, it starts only in the 2015-16 financial year. Why? Because that was their first reporting period. Prior to that, they were within the Department of Trade and Industry. So in terms of their performance, you can see they started relatively well, spending 97.5%. Maybe I need to also add that this department gets a significant budget of about 1.3 billion. That's a significant budget. But in terms of their spending, I would say they started relatively well, given that they were a relatively new department at 97.5%, but they have since declined significantly now to 90.8%, which I think is a cause for concern. But then in the following slides, we will indicate the reasons why they have not performed well, very well, and their performance is going down. And then when we go to the department of public enterprises with the orange orange line there. Orange is line. Tend to be a bit colorblind. There we can see that the spending performance over the 5-year period is very inconsistent. You know, it's zigzag. It goes down, up and down. As you can see in 2012, 13, I think they started that is our baseline. They started very well at 99.3%. But after that, they declined significantly to 92.6%. And then in the following year, which is 2014-15, it was a flat, you know, almost the same. And then they improved significantly in the 2015-16 financial year to 99.8%. But to date, it has gone down again to 94.7%. That's a very critical department. And you thought, which department is it? Or public enterprise. Yeah, that's a very significant, I think, for the reason that I alluded to earlier. But in the following slides, we'll explain the reasons behind this undesirable performance by this department. And then the Department of Basic Education, it's a very interesting one, because in the first, I'll say, two financial years after 2012-13, they improved significantly, because they started at 91.9%, improved to 96.5% and then to 99.2%, but they have since declined significantly. Now they are sitting at 95.8%. I think that again is very concerning, and it's a department with a huge budget as well, Department of Basic Education, because they've got in the 2016-17 financial year they had 21.4 billion. And I think one of the things that we need to also point out is that this level of spending might be even worse when you consider that this department, a significant of its budget, 79.6%, is transferred to provinces. So here the picture that you get, it also includes what they transferred, not actual expenditure. So if you drill down and go to provinces and see how much of the allocation that they received from this department, of how much of it has been spent or had been spent by the end of the financial year, you may find that it was very low. And maybe the department will say, no, this is not our expenditure. Ours is to transfer. Always say no. In terms of the division of revenue bill, the national department, as the transferring agent, has got a responsibility to see to it that the money that it transfers is spent. They must monitor that money. They must follow that money. They've got that responsibility. So if provinces don't spend that budget, the department cannot divorce itself from that spending. So, but those issues tend to be dealt with at length by our sister committee, which is the Select Committee on Appropriations. But where we get the information, we also try to use it, because here we use what is referred to as the Section 32 report, which comes from the PFMA, whereas they use what is called the Section 31 report, Section 71 report, which looks at the spending at provincial and the municipal level. So this is just a synopsis of what happened at a broader level. In this table, what I try to show, because I think what would be of interest to the committee is what this approach that we take on this presentation. We say this is how much was spent, and then this is how much was not spent. Because I think of interest to the committee, how much budget was left unspent at the end of the financial year. So this is what this table tries to show. For instance, when you look at the Department of Basic Education, as of the end of 2016-17, they had left 937.8 million unspent, very much close to a billion. And when you track that, you go back to 2012-13, they had left a sum of 1.3 billion unspent, and they've been below that for years, but now in 2016-17, it looks like they are going back, because now they are going back to almost a billion.
In 2012-13, I think the biggest issue, which remains an issue, it's something that we'll talk about later in the presentation, the underspending and the poor performance on the eradication of mud schools, primarily in the Eastern Cape province, through the ACIDI conditional grant, which is an indirect grant to provinces. The eradication of those schools has been a priority for many years. I think it dates back, you know, from time immemorial, you know. Yes, and then the program was established, I think, in 2010 and implemented in 2011. This committee put too much focus trying to track the spending. Went to Eastern Cape, I think, more than two times to see what is the progress. But as you will see later in the report, the issue of ACIDI, the eradication of mud schools in Eastern Cape, is still a problem. And I think the grant at some point, I think it was this year, it was supposed to come to an end, but because of poor spending, the problem persists. And you can imagine the impact of non-spending there. You can imagine the cost escalation that is happening, because if you don't spend money on time, you know, the price of the price of all material that is used goes up, you know, inflation goes up, and these contractors charge more. But the sad part is that the contractors are the ones also who are not really doing very well. But I will also say the issue of contract management, because the department is supposed to manage those contracts, is an issue, and they've been saying we'll try, you know, over the years. So, you know, the reasons are the same. The reason is the same. One can be tempted to say the issue is now boring, but when it comes to sensitivity, things are very sensitive to say it's boring. You must pay attention to detail, irrespective of how the issue is prolonged. And then the next department would be the Department of Public Enterprise, also left a significant amount, as it is shown there. I think I will not just bore you with this, because I think the table is self-explanatory. I'll move to the next slide. And then here, it's just an indication of, in terms of economic classifications, the heading there, it was meant to be economic classifications of which compensation of employees is part of it. Our apologies there. In terms of economic classification, this graph just gives you an indication of, in each of these departments, this underspending, where is it ascribed, you know, where is it emanating? For instance, I will just, the blue bars, it's compensation of employees, the orange one is goods and services, the lime one, it's transfers and subsidies, and the purple one, it's payments for capital assets. And as you can see, throughout compensation of employees, there's a significant underspending. And I must also underline here that it's no longer the issue of positions that were frozen because of the cost containment measures. The trend is different this time around. It's no filling of vacant positions in departments. And these are critical positions. I think that we will discuss later in the presentation. But just to focus on the Department of Basic Education, the worst one is capital payments. And I think that is ACIDI, you know, the eradication of mud schools in the Eastern Cape, something which I spoke about, and other issues. But it is worse at 53.3%, goods and services, and followed by compensation of employees. And the other ones perform relatively well. And then in terms of the Department of Public Enterprise, the worst one is, this is worrying in this department. I think maybe not to even wait, I can just discuss this now, because this department, it has got a total of 96 vacant positions, very critical positions, chief directors, as well as deputy director positions. And it's a very important program, the one that the department uses to oversee its five SMMEs, being Transnet, Safcol,
Alesco SA Express, and the fifth one, I'll remember it later during the presentation, but those are very key SMMEs. But the department has no capacity in terms of personnel. The one that is critical is about, I think I'll see in the presentation, but in the tune of 30 positions that are vacant, the one that is supposed to oversee the SOEs. And that is a worrying thing, because now you ask yourself, if the department itself does not have the capacity, how does it then oversee these SOEs? Maybe it may explain some of the things, you know, with the challenges that are happening, and then it seems as if, you know, everything is reactionary, because we always realize things after the fact, because the department is supposed to realize things before they happen, you know, and then put supportive measures and all those things. But this one, it is a very big problem, and National Treasury has also alluded to. In fact, that is the main problem. When I interacted with my colleague, because portfolio committees tend to have in-depth knowledge of these issues because they deal with the department day in, day out. So what I did, I interacted with one of my colleagues who's a researcher for the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprise. She said, in terms of her knowledge and their engagement with the department, they train people in the department, employ them, but immediately when they are experienced, SOEs take them. Like, the department is in no position to compete with these very same state-owned enterprises. Because I think one of the things, as you may have realized, SOEs pay like big salaries, sometimes more than departments. I think often than not, more than departments. So like someone who's a task with overseeing, in charge of, like, say, Eskom as a portfolio for the department, and then Eskom will just headhunt that person, and then the department will start again, get someone, even for SA Express, just get those people. But now, I don't think that should be the end, because end of the day, you can't have a department that does not have the capacity to do its job, you know. So one way or the other, there must be a solution, you know, in terms of making sure that the department is in the position to compete in the market, whether with the private sector or with the SOEs. But this department, the problem is just personnel, you know, because when you say 96 positions, I'm thinking it has got a very small budget, as I mentioned earlier. I will ask myself, out of how many, you know, and we find that it's almost half of the staff establishment in terms of the funded vacancies, you know. We find that it's 45%, so it means the department is almost, you know, limping in a way. But I think when we engage with the department, the accounting officer will, you know, give enough details in respect to this. And then the Department of Small Business Development, for me, what is concerning is that across the board, in terms of economic classification, it's underspending across the board. You talk of compensation of employees, you talk of goods and services, you talk of transfers and subsidies. That is worrying. It's almost 91.9%. It's not good, you know, 91.9%, 89.5 million was left unspent, you know. And the transfers and subsidies in this department are very important, because it transfers money through grants and incentives and things for that, because that's its job, you know, to provide incentives to SMMEs and cooperatives, and to also provide a transfer for training, you know, and things like that. So the fact that it's underspending, particularly on transfers and subsidies, is worrying. But as we will see later, even in terms of program, across the board, you know, there's no program that seems to be doing well. You know, as we've seen overall, it's really going down. So it's something that I think the committee needs to pay attention to in an attempt to try and assist the department. And then the next, that was competition, that was economic classifications. And then in terms of process, this will mirror what I said earlier. When you look
sorry,
at...
Just before you I'm alerted that there is another meeting taking place in this venue at 12. So if we could try and speed up. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. We will definitely try and do that. And I think I've explained most of the things. In terms of program expenditure, starting with the Department of Public Enterprise, here I just tried to summarize, looked at the unspent budget and the percentage budget spent. So here, or in terms of percentages, you see that the program that is really not performing is portfolio management and strategic partnership. That is the flagship program, the program that is used to oversee state-owned enterprises, the five SOEs in the department. The fact that it is underspending here, as I said earlier, lack of capacity, you know, unfilled, funded vacant positions, critical positions for that matter, director positions and chief director positions. And then the next one, legal and governance. You know, administration is fine, but I mean that is not a very strategic program. You know, these ones, the legal and governance as well as the portfolio management, those are strategic ones, and those are the ones that are not doing well, and they suffer from issues of capacity. And then what are the main reasons? I think I explained, okay, we'll fix that. But I've explained the reasons there. We can just go to the Department of Small Business Development. The only thing I will raise there is that is something I raised earlier. The first program, that is small, medium, micro enterprise cooperative program design. It's underspending. It's not the worst, but it's very worrying because that's the most important program, followed by the small, medium, and micro enterprises policy and research at 53.5%. Those two are very key. And then what are the reasons? Quite a number of reasons. Unfilled vacant positions, mainly due to the ongoing organizational restructuring. National Treasury also raised a red flag on this one, worried about this ongoing organizational restructuring, and the committee may want to get more details on that one. And then the non-transferable of budget to receiving entities, that's a big problem. And then underspending on cooperative incentive schemes, that's the core of the core business of the department as well. And then other issues like late appointment of adjudication committees, meaning delays in the implementation of programs. So the key question that we are asking here is the department in the position to create a conducive environment for SMMEs if it is struggling to spend on its budget to transfer and all those things? You know, given the what I explained earlier, the issue of the ongoing technical recession and the need for job creation and reigniting the economy. So those are the things. And then basic education, I don't think it's much because it may vary, but there's understanding. I mean, throughout the programs, we can just go to the next one. And then the main reasons, I think I've explained the issue of acidity. It's since 2011, I mean it's 7 years now, it's what, 6 years or so. And then the delays in the implementation of the Harehure program, always is the case when you look at this total expenditure report. Why, I do not know, I think it's the issue that needs to be. And then the withholding of transfers, here it's on the HIV and AIDS life skill conditional grants to the Mpopo. But the withholding of funds in the Mpopo, even National Treasury also raised a red flag on this one. why? You know, is it capacity in the province? But not only the Mpopo, even KZN on some programs, on some conditional grants, particularly the HIV one. So what is happening is there a lack of capacity? I think maybe the committee, when you engage this department, may want to invite those provinces, representatives from those provinces, so that, you know, because we're going to engage with the department, but the provinces themselves need to come and explain. And then, so we ask key questions here. But the one on the school nutrition program in KZN, I learned yesterday that it has been resolved because some service providers were trying to interdict the school's nutrition program. So meaning that the children were going to starve. You know the consequences of that in terms of the cognitive abilities. If you are hungry, you know, you can't really. So, but when I read at first, I thought maybe it's because they were not paid on time, but I realized they were making allegations that, you know, there's corruption in the program, and the people who are given, you know, contracts, sometimes those companies don't exist. But that issue was struck from the role, you know, in the legal term, but the department won the case, I think I heard on the news yesterday. So it's an issue, but maybe, you know, we may want to engage with the AG, even also engage with the equal education, because they really do field work research on issues relating to basic education, but their focus tends to be on schools infrastructure and scholar transport. Maybe they may want to just go on the field, because we as researchers, you know, we rely mainly on reports and what is heard. Because we are here, I'm not in KZN to know what's happening here and there. Sometimes we need to bridge the gap between, you know, what is happening and what is reported. We may want to use those institutions. I think it's something that has been identified as a strategic approach for the community going forward. I think that is where I will end, and I'll hand over to Pelelan. Thank you.
Chair, moving right along, thank you, Musa. Moving right along to Section B, Chair, where we just dealing with the last three departments before we conclude. Water Affairs, Implementation, Social Service, and Transport, Chair. Water Affairs, Chair, is the most important department, Chair, from our view, especially with the emergence of the drought that has been witnessed in the recent past in the country. When we look at the budget of the department, the department managed to spend more than its allocated budget by 18.9 million rand. And when you look at the expenditure trend for the past 5 years, you can see that the department has never spent 100% of its budget for the past, but only this year, only the latest, which is 2016-17 financial year, which is the year under review, where it has spent 100%. Well, when it comes here, Chairperson, the department will be saying, no, look, we've spent 100%, Chair. So the committee must be excited about that. But the committee has to go deeper, Chair, and not just look at the 100% expenditure, because it's not about 100% expenditure, which is the overall, but it's about how those programs within the departments are performing, are functioning, and also are spending their budget. You've got to assess the expenditure programs and look at whether those programs are balanced, the expenditure on those programs is balanced or unbalanced. For instance, if you look at the water and sanitation services, we spend 139.4% of its budget. As Musa was saying earlier on, that some of my departments are characterized by over-expenditure. So you then ask yourself that where did that 39.4% come from, over and above the allocated budget of the program? And you've got another program that spends only 81.4%. You've got a program also that spends 85.4% of its budget. Then automatically, when you look at that 100%, there is a what you call set-off. Those that spend less will be set off by those that spend more, so that you can get that 100%, which is an overall. However, what is more critical, Chair, on that is to look at the fact that funds are being moved from one program here to another program to make sure that we exhaust all the budget that we have. That's why you're going to have a program that spends 39.4% more than its allocation, because that money has been taken elsewhere. Now, the critical question that you've got to ask is, what happened to the performance objectives of programs where funds have been moved? That one. Two, whether those funds that were moved as part and parcel of the October adjustment budget, or post that process, there's been some movement of funds. Parliament has to actually certify that, has to approve that adjustment. And whether also that adjustment is still in line with the Section 42 of the Public Finance Management Act, which put a threshold on the movement of funds. Those are the critical issues, Chair, that we've got to look at a program level, notwithstanding the 100% that is being spent. On economic classifications as well, Chair, you will look at economic classification, for instance, the current payments have spent only 3.9%, but you also have to drill down goods and services. You know that economic classifications are made out of two components, important components, goods and services, composition of employees as well. So you look at goods and services and say, they've spent 94%, fine, well and good. It's not about spending. On goods and services, what is more important is that government is actually spending more than 500 billion rand on procurement. This economic classification is very critical in ensuring that your economic transformation is actually taking place. It's critical in ensuring that you empower SMMEs, as my colleague was speaking about. SMMEs owned by your youth, SMMEs owned by women, SMMEs owned by people with disabilities, SMMEs owned by previously disadvantaged people, and of which some of them are still disadvantaged even today. So it's very important to ask a question on goods and services to say how much of this money that has been spent, on these different categories of empowerment, because it's not just about spending. Compensation of employees, 93.5%, 1.5 billion of 1.5 billion, well, it's fine and good. The department in the past, year, you'll remember, it has been characterized by a situation where critical positions had not been filled. For instance, the department was unable to secure or to get good qualified engineers to maintain its bulk infrastructure programs. The department was unable also to get project managers to manage projects. That's why there has been some delays in implementation of certain projects, which also results on under expenditure. And so if you look at the expenditure of composition of employees, you've got to ask yourself a question, whether this expenditure of 93.5% is an expenditure that takes into account the critical skills that has been a challenge. Is it addressing that, or is it just an expenditure on general labor, on general employees that are just, you know, moving papers from point A to point B and so forth? The key issue here is addressing critical skills. But also we should be mindful, Chairperson, that government as a whole, in particular, is unable to compete with the private sector in the job market because of the non-existence of the retention strategy. Now, the retention strategy is very important for the state to be able to compete, to make sure that it offers decent packages. But based on the allocated budget on departments, that might actually take time. The key reasons for under-expenditure, Chairperson, we've just summarized them. It's unfilled vacancies, delays in processing of invoices, reduced air and road travel trips. This one is more of a savings. It's more of a cost containment measure. Audit fees, non-finalization and approval of audit plans, delays in concluding agreements with service providers for the National Water Service, Water Resources and Sanitation Service Strategy, Water and Sanitation Master Plans. This issue share was also discussed by the Portfolio Committee. I'm not sure what is the progress to date. Maybe the department can be able to update the committee, because there's been also a thorny issue at the portfolio level. The feasibility and reconciliation studies. These are the issues, these are the challenges that have led into under-expenditure in some of the programs that have underspent. Reasons for over-expenditure have not been outlined. We've also looked at the management performance assessment tool results, which gives us the assessment of the department itself in terms of the four key performance areas, which is strategic management, governance, human resource management, and the supply chain. It looks at whether the department does have mechanisms in place to implement different pillars of these four strategic key areas. For instance, the annual performance plan, we see the non-compliance there in 2016 and 2017. It's either the annual performance plan was not integrated into monitoring evaluation programs of the department, or the annual performance plan was not submitted on time to tabled on time into parliament and so forth. So that's why there's non-compliance. The PIA, also non-compliance, PIA, non-compliance. These are your governance and accountability issues. If you sort out your governance and accountability issues, at least a half of a battle is won, because most of the challenges in department or institutions revolves around our governance and accountability. Even the rating agencies, if they look at your institutions, they look at mostly your governance and accountability issues. So that's one issue that our government or our executive or our institutions needs to pay more focus on. So this report is just an indicator that we need to look at that. The HR as well has got some partial compliance. And you can look at the last item, Chair, which is the payment of suppliers within 30 days. There's non-compliance, meaning that there's no mechanism in place to make sure that suppliers are paid on time. And hence, the delay on the payment of invoices contributes towards an expenditure as part of the reasons, Chair. The second department, Chair, being the correctional services, with a budget of 21.5 billion rand, it has also spent 100% with an excess of 5.4 million rand, Chair. You look at the five-year expenditure trend, you realize that it has only started in 2015-16 to spend 100% of its budget, and 2016-17, which is the latest, it has also spent 100%. I must also hasten to say that departments, with the advent of the fiscal consolidation, whereby Treasury is monitoring and tracking every single cent spent on department, departments are under pressure to spend 100% of their budget, because the unintended consequences of fiscal consolidation is such that if you don't spend your budget, the budget cuts will affect you come the next financial year. So that's why then you see the movement of funds from one program to another, because now we must make sure that we spend whatever cent that we have so that our budget does not get cut in the next financial year. Instead, we get an increment. So that's an unintended consequence of the fiscal consolidation, which I wanted to point out. Now, the 100% expenditure, which is the overall, Chair, you need, as a committee also, to drill down to programs, check whether these programs have spent in a balanced or unbalanced manner. CARE program, for instance, has spent 113.1%. It's the same issue as I've outlined on your Water Affairs Department, that where did the 13.1% come from? How many performance objectives were affected in programs where this money was taken away from? And whether this adjustment was part of the October adjustment or not, and whether it still complies with the PFMA regulation in terms of adjustment that are required. Those are the key questions that we need to delve on. And so the economic classifications as well, 100% on current payments was spent. But what does it say? Does it mean that we've got a balanced expenditure on goods and services and Commission of Employees? No. Commission of Employees have only spent 97.3%. And of 14.8 billion. And this department, being a frontline service delivery department, it constitutes a larger number of employees. Its budget is mainly going to personnel. That's why then you spend 14.8 billion on personnel. And this, you've got slight over expenditure also on goods and services, which is 108.4%. And whether all the invoices are paid or not is another question that you've got to ask. The mechanisms are in place to make sure that service providers are paid on time. It's a question that is also critical. The implications of not paying service providers on time, we all know that. Service providers are part and parcel of small business, which is required by our economy. Our economy is in a technical recession. You need these small businesses to ignite growth, to create employment. When these service providers are shut down just because the state has not paid on time, then you are self-defeating the purpose of growing the economy. Key reasons, Chair, for under-expenditure is again the same thing, unfilled vacancies. The unfilled funded vacancies seems to be the dominant reason across the board, Chair, I must say. But we must also be mindful, Chair, and remember that the medium-term policy budget statement, Chair, for the past 2 years has actually made reference to the fiscal consolidation, and part of the issues that was going to be done was to put a ceiling on personnel. Now, when you're putting a ceiling on personnel, it means you are not going to fill some of the vacancies that you have, provided they are not critical.
So hence you see a unfilled funded vacancies consistently being the reasons of under expenditure. I think it's as a result of that particular ceiling that has been put. Some post has been frozen because of the fiscal consolidation. The key reasons of over expenditure, Chair, on correctional services, spend a lot of money on buying food for your inmates and so forth. So the increase on food prices, suppliers, was part of the reasons. The increase on fuel, vehicles, repairs, or fleet services and so forth, increase in property payments, reduce a lot of properties. So these are the things that have, and also the bonuses for non-SMS staff share, they were part of the reasons of over expenditure. Now, when you look at the impact report, said diagnosis the department inside. If you want to see whether the department or the institution is a well-oiled machine, you've got to look at the impact report. Because those four key performance areas are actually the engines and the wheels of the department to move. If those four are not well-oiled, then the department, you are going to see your invoices not being paid on time, you're going to see your internal auditors, your internal audit units not being effective, you're going to see all sorts of things. Those things are as a result of these four key performance indicators not being in place. I'm not going to go through them, Chair. They are clearly outlined on the slide for the sake of time. Department of Transport, Chair, is the last department with a budget of 56.4 billion rand, which has spent also all its budget. In fact, more than its budget by 117.8 million rand. Now, you also look at the consistent way in which it has been spending. For the past 3 years, it has spent more than its budget. Since 2013, and 2014, 2013, and also 2016, 2017, which is the year under review, to spend more than its budget. But whether or not that expenditure is balanced is another question, Chair. Go through the programs. We'll find 83% being spent. In another program, 127% being spent, which is higher than what was allocated. Again, the same questions are being asked. Economic classifications as well, it's the same issue, Chair. Key reasons for over expenditure. Increase in transfer payments for railway safety regulator. We know that there's been some accidents, train accidents that has been happening throughout the country. So I think that increasing the transfer payment to railway safety regulator was part of ensuring that there's capacity, beefing up capacity for the regulator to try and deal with the issue of these train accidents. Transfer made to Electrical National Traffic Information System, INATIS, also will increase. So these were part of your increase of your over expenditure. But whether or not these were not known before at the start of the financial year, so that they become part of the planning in the budget, so that you don't have to shift funds and interrupt the deliverables of other programs. It's a question that needs to be answered by the department. Some other reasons for under expenditure, still vacant positions, and also the invoices that are not paid, slow spending on review of tax recap model. So there's a review process that the department is undergoing for tax recap. We know tax recap has been there as since, I can't remember even when it was started, that program. Tax capitalization. The integrated public transport network in municipalities is also part of the under expenditure. The discontinuation of national freight, it was also part of under expenditure. It was budgeted for, but the money was not spent due to discontinuation. MPED report, what does it say around different transport? This is a department that I can say, we can say, Chair, from our observation, is relatively doing well around the MPED because it's got very few red. The latest report actually has got only one red, where it's non-compliant, the Promotion of Access and Information Act. The mechanisms there to implement that act are not in existence, and so hence the non-compliance. But the rest are partial compliance, meaning that there are mechanisms, there are policies, there are procedures in place, but they're not implemented. So that was our last department on the sixth department.
What's up?
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to correct something on record. My memory is not sharper as I thought it is. Actually, the Department of Public Enterprise, the overall number of positions, vacant positions that are funded and critical, is 32. And then in program, the portfolio management and strategic partnership, they are actually 19. And also to indicate to members that, you know, in respect to the in respect of the Department of Small Business Development, there's a very interesting paper which we engaged in detail. Very short, but very interesting, the findings. It's the Bureau of Economic Research from the University of Stellenbosch. It gives a very interesting analysis of the health of SMMEs in South Africa and the challenges that they face, you know, and some contradictions in terms of, because these challenges differ from region to region, province to province, you know, some challenges are more expressed in rural areas. Like in rural areas, for instance, we find that the problem of space and accommodation is not an issue, but infrastructure, your ICT, and so on and so forth. Whereas in urban, in predominant urban provinces like Gauteng, for instance, they say it accounts for about 41% of SMMEs in South Africa. But the problem there, you'll find that they are unique, like, for instance, crime. As we have seen, there's a lot of crime, and you know, when people come and take things from these small businesses, you can imagine the impact. People may be reluctant to open businesses again, and also they have to spend more on security, and then that increases the cost of doing business as well. You know, the security industry in South Africa is booming because of crime, but it's killing investor confidence as well, but particularly it affects MMEs. And also there the issue is accommodation and space, you know. But there are very interesting findings in this paper, and I think members for your debate and other engagement, but we also cited as part of our sources in the document. Thank you.
Let's take on the next one, SOEs.
Thank you very much, Chair. Now we are on the SOEs. We have identified about 10 SOEs, Chair, which are linked to departments that we've just presented. For instance, there are transport SOEs. There's four of them, which is PRASA, SANRAL, Road African Fund, and RTMC. There are about six SOEs that are linked to public enterprises. The Section 8 deals with the transport SOEs, which is PRASA, SANRAL, Road African Fund, and RTMC, as I've indicated. The objective of PRASA are well documented. Our members are familiar with the objectives. Safe to say that the entity in the last financial year received an unqualified audit opinion. However, Chair, there are some challenges that we pick up, which I think, Chair, members are also quite familiar with. Will not, in the interest of time, dwell much on these challenges. For instance, one of the challenges specifically around the compliance with legislation was the procurement process that did not always follow Section 51(1) of the PFMA that requires that any procurement should be fair, equitable, transparent, and competitive. And therefore, if you don't comply with the proper provision, you are likely to actually buy a goods at a higher price. You are likely to have tenders that are being issued without being advertised in the tender bulletin and so forth. So those are the implications, which will be the findings when the Auditor General comes and do the audit. The contract issued in excess of period stipulated in the supply chain policy is quite obvious. The deviations were paid without approved extension. The payments, when it comes to deviations, Chair, there must be an addendum that explains that particular deviation, and that addendum must form part and parcel of the documentation of that particular contract. And if that addendum is not part of that, I can still pay for the deviation. what informs the decision of pay, because the addendum explains the deviation that has happened. So it's a concern. The payment being made in excess of contract without approval by the delegated official, the accounting officer, the CFO, or the acting in those capacities should be able to approve the payments that is being made in excess of contract. The contract agreement stipulates a particular amount, but if there is an excess amount that needs to be paid, those designated officers must approve. But payments were being made without that approval. So it's a concern also. Chair. Preferential point system was not always applied as a requirement, Chair, by Section 2.1 of the Triple PFA. The preferential point should always apply. If that preferential point does not apply, you are likely to have an unfair procurement process taking place. It goes back to Section 51.1A of the PFMA. The work or the contracts being awarded to companies or contractors that did not qualify as per the requirement of the CIDB regulations. So those are the challenges that we've identified. And around the expenditure management, Chair, as a category as well, you know that this, a Public Finance Management Act, Section 51, also requires that accounting authorities of entities put in place or take measures to prevent what we call irregular expenditure, unauthorized expenditure, as well as wasteful and fruitless expenditure. But in this case, CASA did not have those mechanisms. Hence, you have an irregular expenditure being a cumulative figure of 14.7 billion rand. So in the absence of those mechanisms, irregular drives, wasteful expenditure drives, and unauthorized expenditure as well will also drive. There were also some members, officials, that were in the three supply chain committees that did not disclose their conflicting interest with regard to some contracts that were awarded to certain bidders. They also failed to do the feasibility study before considering the supplier. As a department, you must be able to test the market before you do your appointment of a certain particular service provider. In terms of the product that you are going to get in the market, what is the quality, what is the quantity, what is the standard? You also test the market in terms of the pricing of that particular product. Now, that itself informs you to make a right decision when the contractor or when the service provider is being appointed, when he gives you an information that is not accurate, you are able to pick that up. But if you did not do it, you are bound to actually buy a loaf of bread four times expensive than the normal price that the market actually offers. And payment made to suppliers without approval contract. On locomotives, Chair, there were some wasteful expenditure that was identified, 255.3 million rand. A part of that was 283.3 million and 4.7 million due to lack of planning, uninstalled computer hardware, which amounts to 14.9 million rand. These are computer hardware which are sitting in the storeroom or in the warehouse, were procured, but they're not utilized, they're not being installed. So it's a wasteful expenditure according to their audit findings. These are computer hardware that were procured but are sitting in storerooms or in the warehouse. They're not being installed. They're not being utilized. So in terms of the audit process, that is a wasteful expenditure. Yeah. So the credit cards were not used for permitted purposes. The challenges, again, on leadership, the instability, we know that there's been a consistent vacant position of the CEO of the entity, and that has got a negative impact on the entity sustainability. No consequence management for transgressors, a lack of review on certain policies was also a concern. That was a CASA, Chair. And Chair, these are the latest information that we have is of the annual report 2015-16, as we are going to be receiving the latest 2016-17 annual report by end of this month, in September. The next SOE, the next entity being SANRAL, the objective of SANRAL, Chair, are well known, are well documented. Just into challenges, Chair, compliance with legislation, tenders not always advertising the bulletin, goes bare chair to the provision that we have indicated, section 51(1) of the PFMA, where you are going to have these tenders being issued without being advertised. The question is, who are these service providers that are being given tenders without being advertised, and how do they know about the tenders if those tenders, in fact, were not being advertised? So these are difficult questions that we've got to answer that we might not have answers on as researchers. Conflicting interests not always disclosed. So some of these challenges, Chair, you will see there's a pattern of similarities. I will not dwell much on these, Chair, for the sake of time. Road Accident Fund, Chair, being the third entity, the objectives are pretty much known. The expenditure management challenges is the same thing, Chair. Section 51, again, Section 51 is very consistent. Non-compliant with Section 51 has been very consistent. That's what we've picked up with almost all your SOEs. And that results only regular expenditure increasing. That results only wasteful expenditure, Chair. Then what led to the irregular, of course, as I've indicated, Chair, the non-compliance with provisions of those key legislative aspects. The RCMC, Chair, one of the entities of transport that did not have as many findings as you would have thought, Chair, and I would like to give it to Musa to continue with Section B. Thank you.
Chair, definitely this one will be very quick, but I'm sure the points will be out there. Basically, these are entities that report to the Department of Public Enterprise. You know, these are proposed entities. We said these two departments have got very important entities, but in terms of the invitation, it's up to the committee. We can scale them down and say these ones are even more critical. These ones we can do without maybe in the next term. You know, so these ones, I indicated earlier in the first presentation, six key present SOEs or entities. When you think of Transnet, SA Express, Eskom, and Alesco, I don't know much about Alesco, I must confess, and then Danel, Alesco. The Alesco deals with the mineral wealth of South Africa. So they mine, you know, those minerals. Very, very critical. I didn't know much about it. I think also it's an opportunity for the committee to kind of familiarize itself with some of these entities, because as we'll hear in the presentation, the challenges of these entities are not only common, but I can go as far as to say they are very contagious, in the sense that one day you hear about this one facing these problems, and then the next day you now hear about the other one facing the problems that were facing the other one, and the cycle continues. And then, you know, so we need to familiarize ourselves with these entities, especially those that are very strategic, minerals that's very strategic, you know. Alesco deals, SACO deals with the forestry sector, you know, issues of timber, the furniture that you have. Yeah, I didn't know much about it, you know, but portfolio committee researchers and members tend to know about those. But these are very, very key. Major SOEs, mostly Section 2 in terms of the PFMA, those are major ones. And then we argue that these are the backbone of the South African economy. And they cover, as you can see, the illustration, the critical sectors of the economy. When you think of Transnet and SA Express, it's the transportation sector. Energy, it is Eskom. Manufacturing, that is Alesco, Denel, and SAFCO. And when you think of the manufacturing sector, you think of job opportunities. That's a very key sector. When you think of energy, you go as far as to think of the economy. As I'll argue later, if Eskom fails, the economy will be on its knees, because Eskom, I would say, is the backbone of the South African economy. Energy is the backbone because it has got monopoly. If it fails, big business will struggle because they need electricity. Small businesses will struggle. Government itself will struggle. But even households will struggle to go on by their day-to-day business, you know, going to work. So there's no institution that is too big to fall. We know what happened to the Titanic, but the issue is, if it falls, everyone will suffer. So those ones are very important, Transnet, SA Express, because Transnet and SA Express, they connect South Africa economically, especially to the to key regions on the African continent. So those are very, very key, and the job opportunities throughout. So those are very, very important entities, and we know the issue of rating agencies, you know, they use this as a barometer now to measure the health and the prospects of our economy, you know. So if we want our economy to really, really be up there, we must really pay attention to some of these very key entities. That is why we think this time around the committee must really work, collaborate with other committees like the scope and portfolio committees to strengthen oversight over these committees. As I said, for instance, the NEL covers the Defence Force, you know, which is a sector on its own, manufacturing significant job opportunities, and they export a lot, you know, so they help our current account, you know, because we don't want to have more imports, we also want exports, so we must make sure that this entity is supported and monitored as well. And then ESCOM, I think I've explained there, we all know with ESCOM. And then Transnet, I think I've also explained a lot of job opportunities there, a significant infrastructure budget. One of the SOEs in terms of the, how many billions, I can't remember, but the major infrastructure project, the one that government is embarking on, I think that's something that the committee also need to go back, because I think it's starting to forget that there's this major infrastructure budget which is supposed to create jobs and what, and now things are not happening. We need to go back, like a jobs fund. Those are other issues that we need to talk about, because there's a lot of issues for this committee. And the NSA Express, yeah, it connects us with the region, but we know there are problems with this one. I stand to be corrected, but when I engaged with colleagues and looked for the annual report, I heard that they have not tabled their 2015 annual report. And in a month's time, we'll be getting annual report for 2016. If they have not tabled that one, what are the prospects that will table the other one, and why they have not tabled the other? You know, so there's a lot that we don't know what's happening, but a lot of issues are happening there. I also got a briefing when I did my research that was done by the minister before the portfolio committee, explaining the seriousness of challenges with SA Express. Operational sustainability, profitability, financial sustainability, but the most important one, it's about the safety of the aircraft, because it has got maintenance issues. You know, some of its aircraft are grounded because they're in danger. You know, so you can imagine if one day we can be told that it crashed, you know. You can imagine the headlines. So that is very important. The minister is very clear about really we need to sort out the issue with SA Express. That one is very important. And then so-called job opportunities as well as mineral resources, that's the pride of the nation, that's the pride of the country as well, it's not just money. You know, that's what we pride ourselves with, that is unique to us. You know. So, but other than that, my key observation is that most challenges in these entities are just common. You know, that is why I think AC, when the Office of the Auditor General presented before the committee during the strike plan, even said that when they compile their reports, audited reports, they also feel, you know, kind of bored, because the issues, they are just recurring. He even said, now people say, oh, another Michael Jackson song, you know. But they have critical issues. You know, they must be out there, but, you know. And one of the things that I think is troubling is that they are well-known, well-documented. AG, the media, you know, debated in Parliament. The worst of all is that often than not we know the prescripts that are not adhered to. Take fruitless expenditure as well as irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful as well as irregular, section 51 of the PSMA. In fact, when you go through these annual reports over and over again, and the associated regulation, section 51, it's very clear the accounting officer must take effective steps to avoid fruitless and wasteful and irregular expenditure, but it's not complied with. And it brings us back to the issue of consequence management. You get it in the report, we know about it, you know. I think that's the most troubling. But issues are common, governance, supply chain management, non-compliance with the PSMA, but most importantly, it's just the issue of everything happens in the supply chain management, that's the procurement, you know. It's there, section 51. The issues are common. We will wait for these annual reports. Maybe there are unique issues. Like, for instance, the global and domestic performance. It's definitely strengthened the profitability and financial sustainability of these SOEs. For instance, as I argue there, weak economic performance means weak demand for energy because firms are not producing. So sometimes they are closing, they're scaling down, you know. So they will demand less energy. So Eskom, in terms of profitability, will suffer. And with demand for commodities as well, globally, when the economy is down, we'll hear that China is not importing, you know, commodities, and then that is why emerging economies suffer and so on and so forth. So those are, I would say, exogenous factors, kind of beyond the control, but there are those that are within the control, which are endogenous. And then, for instance, Eskom, we cannot ignore this one. Eskom is old money, and that has to be resolved. Whether you think of big business, municipalities, and illegal connection, the scale of illegal connection, those of us who go to townships, like on the weekend, for instance, you know, it's like it's the order of the day. You see, you know, electric cables all over. For free, and you ask yourself, how much is Eskom losing as a result? You know, when I read, I think I'll say reportedly, it is owed 10 billion by municipalities. Now, when you combine everything, you can imagine it affects Eskom as well. Here, I think it's something that I've alluded to, just give you an illustration, it's just that 2015, it's outdated, but it gives you the figures of irregular expenditure. These are not cumulative figures. You can imagine if it is cumulative. These are just what was incurred in that financial year. But the main issue, internal control here, I just isolated the leadership, you know, because everywhere where there's irregular expenditure and fruitless expenditure, there's lack of adequate oversight on compliance with laws, oversight by the accounting officer, that's the leadership. And then often they're not lack of compliance. We've seen cases, I would say those are success stories, where now we find instances where people are dismissed. And I think that is welcomed because that's consequence management. We're trying to reverse the whole thing. I think that's that. And then with SA Express, yeah, we can take one here. I've said that there are yet to, those are the issues I've alluded to. And then with Denel, the only thing the minister alluded to that they are reliant on client advance payments and short-term paper to finance its working capital requirements. So they've got liquidity issues that's not sustainable, you know. So, but one of the last things that, as a parting shot that I need to, what we observed, and then I interacted with my colleague because it was quite, you know, strange. When you look at the annual reports that are audited by the AG, the Office of the AG, find a lot of issues achieved, you know, are discussed, like fruitless. But when you go to annual reports that are done by independent auditors, find that the annual report like it's clean, all is well, and then the next thing you hear in the media, and you start to think, and then my colleague is a researcher for Scopa. He said the Scopa have decided that all those key SOEs, they'll make sure that they'll find a way that to ensure that they are audited by the auditor general, because the other auditing firms, they tend to be clients even edges the client, but you know, they are starting to observe a trend whereby those that are audited by independent firms, they report, it's like everything is good, but when you find the ones that are audited, and then the next thing, the third thing, after the auditing process, you hear things in the media and so on and so forth. It's just something, an observation, you know, out of a conversation I had. I thought maybe I can just share with the members. Otherwise, that is it from us. Thank you very much, members.
Okay, thank you very much, honorable members. It's your chance to pose clarity questions, make additions. Because in some instances issues have been in the media. I'm not saying that we must rely on the media, but it would be interesting to share that information with the researchers if there is, so that if there is anything that we want further researched, then it comes out here and we do follow-ups. So that by the time we meet these departments and their entities, we have solid information. Honorable McLachlan, anyone else? Honorable Manana, Honorable Professor, and Honorable Snopanyana, yes. Go ahead.
Sorry, Chair, I just wanted to get some clarity here. Thank you for the research and the information you provided us. Do I understand correctly that as regards SA Express, they have still not tabled the annual report for 2015? Is that correct? Mm-hmm. So they're now 2 years later. Because the problem I have with it is they're still operating. Mm-hmm. They are still a going concern. I know I've flown with SA Express and I've had the situation where you don't actually fly in an SA Express aircraft because they're chartering other aircraft to fly their routes because they don't have aircraft. Obviously that costs them a lot more money than it would to run their own aircraft because they're paying the profits of someone else. This is just a really untenable situation, and I think we really need to get them in here and put pressure on them to file their annual report. It won't be a nice document to read, but I think it's an essential document to read. And then I just wanted to ask as well. Have you managed to discover anywhere why it is that SOEs are paying much higher salaries than the departments? I mean, surely that should be regulated somehow, that whatever rules apply to a government department should also apply to the children of that government department, if you like. Why should they have the ability to go out there and employ people at huge salaries that a government department itself can't do? This also mitigates against the whole idea of running a commercially viable enterprise. I know we have different priorities as well, it's developmental and so on, I understand that, but you still have to be able to look after yourself and pay your way, otherwise somebody else has to do it for you, and that's the whole problem. At the moment the taxpayers are looking after everybody else, and it's not supposed to be that way. Thank you.
Honorable Malala.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also welcome this presentation from the researchers. It is very informative, and I think we need to take a decision that indeed we will be calling this a department and the entities that they have suggested. But I've been reading an article in the newspaper just now, where they are talking about SAA, where they are saying employees
are all going to get their salaries at the end of the month. I don't think can we add SAA, because most of us, we are using it, and there are problems there. And I know sooner or later, this committee will be appropriating some money to SAA to bail them out, as was introduced by the, as it was announced by the Minister of Finance. Chairperson, I fully agree that we need to call the Department of Education with the Mpompo in order to come to explain to us with regards to this HIV and AIDS life skills conditional grant. Both of them, they need to be here. We need not to leave it only to the department. This nutrition feeding scheme, yeah, feeding scheme in KwaZulu-Natal. I don't think it is fully resolved, even if it is partial. But I think they need to come to Parliament and explain what are the problems, because there are really serious problems. With regard to the SOEs, I've talked about the SAA, which we need to invite them, and we'll ask the researchers to make a research on it. With ESCOM, I don't want to talk about it any longer. Thank you very much.
Okay, Honourable Bishop Estola.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the researchers for this information. I would like to ask the researchers to make further research on the they say there are programs where monies were shifted to other programs, whether performance objectives were not compromised. If they could just make that research and come with the results to us. The other thing is this thing called, what do they call it? Goods and services. I would like you to, for every SOE and treasure itself, to analyze what is the goods and services. I don't like that word anymore. I want to know every rand that went into, where did it go. So starting with treasure, and then I see you have put here SA Express. Where is SAA? Why? What is the reason for not having SAA in this? Because that is the thing that is bothering our minds. And on SAA. I read from the media that there are reports that have been, forensic. There are forensic reports already. I think there are 17, but they have not been acted upon. So I would like you to call Treasury and SAE together, they must come together to come and tell us why are these reports not, because we have found out the problem, why are we not solving it? So on the what Yeah, no, let me pause there for now.
Honorable Snobanyana.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. First, let me really appreciate the presentations by the researchers. I think you guys have done a real good job. I'm not going to necessarily add other departments that maybe, but just to say that I think you really applied your minds in terms of the identification of the different departments, because your motivations really are encouraging. I think I know we could call as many as we want, but we wouldn't be able to call everybody. But I think that we should thank you for doing that. I just wanted to make some comments, you know, in terms of, for instance, the composition of employees, this business of vacant funded posts, because I have a, well, we can still ask the department about that, but I just wanted to get a sense of whether they've really indicated why they are not filling them. I know you, when you presented, you did mention that probably this and that, but have you got any information that they've given that why they... Because if they are funded, then let us hear. They mustn't make us think that perhaps it's this that is the reason for that, because they should be actually, they should be filling those posts if they are funded, because then it compromises the department in a big way. And the other thing, when it comes to the Department of Water and Sanitation, I noted this issue of reduced air and travel underspending. I mean, because of air and road traveling, that they've underspent. I don't think that holds water. I mean, it just can't hold water, because my understanding is that when they budget, the budget is allocated. If they know that they are going to reduce those things, why did they allocate their money and then underspend it? And also they get an opportunity during the course of the financial year to be able to shift funds around. So, yeah, it should, of course, some of the things actually should be asking the department and not yourself. Yeah, the other thing that just is a bit of concern, this thing of saying making up, you said that they made up for the, where was the, on this one, you said slight overspend expenditure on goods and services makes up for the under expenditure on compensation of employees. That, I don't think that should be happening. It cannot happen. We cannot accept that they did that, because that was not meant for this. They should have allocated it for that in the first place. I think I will have to, because I think maybe I should just add that their planning is very, very poor. And in most of these departments, I think the problem of non-compliance with laws and regulations is extreme. And I think that's where we have a very serious problem. And as for PRASA, I mean, they got an unqualified audit report. But look at the number or the type of challenges that we have. Sometimes you wonder. Thank you very much.
No, I just on SA Express, there was also something called SA Link. I'm not sure whether that is still operational. If we could check, how is its health? Health in as in financial health as well as, you know, the physical health. You talked about challenges with SA Express with some of their flights grounded because of lack of service and therefore being a threat to the lives of those who fly. So check that as well. Now, also I would like us just to confirm, because SAA reports to National Treasury, is accounts to National Treasury now. What about those two, SAA, SA Express and SA Link? Are they still with public enterprises, or all of them are reporting to National Treasury? I think that with Eskom, there is an issue that needs to be further looked into. There's a whole list of companies that have been doing business with Eskom over time, green, with what is called green contracts, ranging up to 40, 50 years. And some of those are about to expire and they are due for renewal. But there is a whole lot of whole lot of allegations about how these companies and Eskom have been operating over the years, to the extent that the challenges that Eskom has been having are partly due to the kind of the relationship between Eskom and these companies. So I think that we need to check that, do a little bit of research on that. And I raise these issues because there is also let me call it an observation, that whilst for the past 3-5 years now, we have been stabilizing our energy, and we look like we have enough of it. There is an observation that by 2020, we will then go back to the same problem of unstable energy capacity. Now, I know that it may not necessarily be our duty as this committee to look at that, but certainly we have an interest in how Eskom and these companies have been operating in terms of expenditure, in terms of tenders, in terms of just financial sustainability of Eskom. So we've got to look into those. I know that the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprise and SCOPA are also looking at that, perhaps a collaboration with yourselves and their researchers might enrich our discussion at some point on some of those issues. I think those are the issues that I wanted to raise. Honorable Shopperstone.
Thank you, Chair. If the researchers can just try and establish, I saw something in the media, but I didn't, it was in passing, that there were reports that were withdrawn. I don't know, the minister was withdrawing some reports. Yeah, I think it's yesterday. Can we get those reports, and why they were withdrawn? you know. But I didn't see the voting, I just saw it. Yeah, something like this.
No, no, it is true, Chair. The report that was submitted, it was incomplete. That's why Minister had to withdraw it, because it was incomplete. The real report is going to be submitted possibly any time from now. Minister can submit it.
One more issue that I thought I should ask the inspectors to look at, Transnet. If you could just track
If you could track the budget of Transnet from the 2009-10 financial year up to about 2015-16. You indicated earlier on that you're not very sure about their budget, probably currently. I know that somewhere around that period, 2009-10, 2010-11, they had a 300 billion rand budget and a very clear mandate as to what to do with it on issues of infrastructure. And we've got to have a look at track that and check the impact that those budgets over that period have had in the infrastructure built space, but also check the link between Transnet's infrastructure build program and the PICC. Because it seems to me that there is a bit of a disjuncture there. Yeah. Okay. If you want to comment on the issues that members have raised, you can do so. Yes.
There was something that Musa raised about late payment of SME and the other one of vacancies that are not filled. You know, there is this beautiful word that Treasury, your department likes. Is called cost containment. You know, at the back of my mind, I think we're applying austerity measures. And this is self-defeating to an economy that is not growing. And also the late payment of SMEs, I think we're just driving this business down. As such, I would conclude that it is not our economy that is not growing. I don't believe that. It is government itself that is killing the economy by not paying the SME on time, and two, by not filling vacancies when we say our problem is unemployment. We're not filling vacancies. And if you don't fill vacancies on very strategic SOEs, you are actually allowing people to work unsupervised.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just a small thing that I forgot, I'm actually reminded by Honorable Shoppers to us. With regard to the non-payment or late payment of suppliers, I just wanted to check, you know, the terminology that you've used fully compliant and partially compliant. When you say partially compliant, I forgot I noted it in terms of non-payment of these suppliers. How can you really explain what partial compliance and non-compliance with that particular?
Right. Musa, Pelala, go ahead. Oh, before that, Honorable Matla, you okay? Okay. Okay.
Thanks, Chair and Honorable Members, and thank you for the remarks and the questions. And then in terms of the issues about further research that we need to do on some of these issues, we'll definitely do that. We have just documented those issues down. And then maybe just to respond to some of the issues. I think also, you know, we agree to a very great extent with Honorable Shopesitode on the issue of non-feeding of vacancies. It's a problem. You know, there's no doubt about it because they are critical, they are funded, you know, and as we alluded to earlier, it's no longer an issue on this one. The ones especially that we highlighted is not about an issue of cost containment measures. It's about departments not really filling those positions. And then, Sepenyane, you asked about what are really the reasons that they give for the non-filling of vacancies. The ones that we got from the report, for instance, I will just pick a public enterprise. In the report, they did not indicate why, hence the need to engage with the department. It's only when I took matters further to discuss with the portfolio committee researcher, she, you know, shared the information in that what they have said is that they struggle to compete in the market, particularly with SOEs. And then the Department of Small Business Development, they refer to the issue of organizational restructuring as the main reason. As the main reason for the non-filling of vacancies. And then any other reason, they are not reported. And then in terms of, because the issue is linked with what Honorable Motlogen asked, why SOEs pay more than departments? Yeah, I think that's really the animal in the room, really. Basically about the operations of SOEs, entities. Why are they so unique from departments? Because they tend to regulate themselves at the expense of the fiscals, often they're not, you know. So I think at a policy level, that's a policy issue that needs to be dealt with. Actually, when I was doing another research, institutional research, looking at the, I think members will have an interest here. I was just doing, you know, looking at the remuneration of members in other countries, you know, comparing South Africa with other countries, looking at how other countries are getting remunerated and all that and all that. And I realized that in other countries, the salaries of SOEs, especially the top management, it is regulated the same way with government officials and politicians, you know. But we even ask ourselves why in our country it is not the case, you know. But I think that's a broader policy issue. And I found it very interesting. In Nigeria, I found that they get all sorts of benefits, your wardrobe allowance, entertainment allowance, to the tune of 200% of your basic salary. But you don't get it from the... Because all these countries have got official institutions that regulate the salaries of public office bearers. But there, when you try to access their website, you can't, you know, but other people can report because they do have access to that report, you know, but that's another way. But why in our country, I think that's a policy issue when we deal with how we steer around the direction of SOEs to make sure that they are not a burden to the economy, but they are an asset, you know, the Air Force. So those are the issues around the issue of cost containment measures.
Just on that, I know that at some point the Minister of Finance was working on standardizing salaries of CEOs of SOEs. I don't know whether it was only CEOs or everybody in the SOE space. If you could check with National Treasury, because I'm not sure whether that was finally done, and if it was done, why is it still continuing, or perhaps it was abandoned at some point, and why it was abandoned. I recall that it was Minister Pravin Gordhan who was handling that at some point, but I'm not sure where that process went to. Honourable Shopperston.
Thank you, Chair. On that issue, I would like to the researchers to see me after this, because I have got information that you know, this thing of captains of our SOEs getting more money than the department, it's something that is not an accident of the year. It was actually a plan. And if you trace the tenants, these people, especially from your department, when they get into finance, they go out, they go to this sector. It was plan B, you know. I'm serious, that's got something in it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Chair. And then, on the issue, Honourable Chobaza, that you asked about SA Link, SA Express, and SAA, my knowledge is that, yes, SAA is still under Treasury. But I don't know, I really don't know about SA Air Link. I really don't know. What I know is that SA Express is still under public enterprise. And there was this plan to try and merge these two. We don't know how far, because obviously in our previous engagement we said logic dictates you can't merge two problems. You know, we must sort the problems first and then merge them. So we will then assume that it's that process. They are busy trying to clean all that has to be cleaned, and then when things are right, and then you merge the two. And then,
If I may just come in on that one, I think this question should form part of the discussion with the department as well as the National Treasury to say how far are we in terms of the proposed merger of the airlines. It's part and parcel. It was part and parcel of the reforms that were supposed to actually assist in ensuring that the fiscal consolidation is also realized.
Absolutely right, Mr. Rom. And then also still on the issue of SAA, Honourable McLachlan, you know, here I will really, be very honest. Here, I really, like as I said earlier, we stand to be corrected. We'll definitely double check whether that report is out, because now I remember, you know, part of the research, because there's a lot that you do, sometimes you interact with your core researchers, you know. It might happen that things are really not the case. This one, I engaged with my colleague from Scopa. It might happen, maybe it's my oversight, that at the time of her of his analysis, this was the case, and maybe things have changed. But as soon as we get it, we're going to analyze it the same way that we analyze the other one and bring it before the committee. And then I think there are other issues that related to the section that I did, and then I will hand over to Perelane.
And then on the issue of SMMEs, as I indicated, we couldn't agree more. Not SMMEs, the day-to-day payment, we couldn't agree more, because really, it means government is also contributing to the lack of sustainability of small businesses in South Africa, knowing their role in the economy, to the growth of the economy, and so on and so forth. And my question is, I think it's something that I need to research. You know, I know the policies come from DPSA, but I'm asking myself, because this is now the realm of the Department of Small Businesses, I will assume that they've got a specific program of trying to resolve this problem. Because if you say you are creating a conducive environment for SMMEs, and one of their big problems is non-payment or late payment by government, that should be a little bit easier now, because it's government within the same arena, you know. So I really need to read, I need to put my hands on this one. What is the specific, because there must be a special problem within this department to try and resolve this as part of their mandate. Mm-hmm. So now, I don't know what is happening, but I'll follow up on that one. Can we add SAA? Definitely, I think, together with SA Express. And then I agree, Honourable Manana and Honourable Shopesitolo, we need to invite, as we are saying, on the issue of the school nutrition program. The reason why this one I flag is it's a flagship program for the Department of Basic Education. And when we discuss success stories around what South Africa has done very well, I think it's the issue of the rollout of ARVs, that's a success story in South Africa. And the nutrition program, you know, that's a success story. So this one, we cannot take it light, you know. We need, if there are signs that something is not well, all is not well, we need to go there, satisfy ourselves with their problem, protect it, because we've got problems elsewhere, we can't have problems even in our success areas, you know. So that one, we definitely to invite KZN and deal with the issue. And then where the withholding of funds, definitely it can't be the national department only, because you hear on one side of the story, you know, a coin has got two sides, you know, it's always the case. So we'll have to invite the provincial department, you know. And then, yeah, and then on the further research, we'll definitely do all those things. And then I think I'll hand over to Pelelan. Thank you.
Thanks, Musa. Just quickly, Chair, some few issues. If I may start with Honorable Senator Nguyen's questions on the 30-day payment of suppliers, why is it non-compliance, partial compliance, and so forth in the different department. Chair, we move from the Public Finance Management Act, Section 38 of the Public Finance Management Act, Section 38F, which speaks about the settlement of all obligations by government in a prescribed period. And then now, the South African government then undertook that all invoices should be paid within 30 days after the receipt of payment, right? So now, having seen this provision, now, a department is then expected to have a mechanism, to put a mechanism in place, a policy or a procedure, to say how is it going to implement this particular provision, right? Now, the assessment, the management performance assessment results or tools come in to assess if those mechanisms are put in place. Because the provisions, the PFMA has got a lot of provisions, but those provisions, you can't implement them as they are. You need mechanisms to translate them into action. You need committees, you need structures, you need policies, you need and so forth, to make sure that you implement that. So if those mechanisms are not in place, then the performance assessment process will give a department a one in that particular area. A one is the non-compliance, it's defined as non-compliance, the assessment. If then the mechanisms or those processes are in place, it will give a department a two. A two says there is, yes, a mechanism, but they are not implemented, right? Then that's partially compliant. If then those mechanisms, yes.
I actually needed just an explanation in terms of the payment of suppliers. What would you? I mean, I'm familiar with the PFMA and all that, but just what it means when you say partial compliance. It's just that my experience has been non-compliance and compliance. So if you just, you don't really have to address all of them. Just that one thing, if I can know the meaning of partial, because if you don't pay within 30 days, for me, it's non-compliance. So I just needed that little explanation to differentiate between non-compliance and partial compliance, so that you don't go on and on. Just if you can just tell me that, and thanks.
So thanks, my honourable Sinukonyana, for the clarity. Now, in the absence of those mechanisms or those processes, you are not going to be able to pay your clients on time, because there are no clearly defined mechanisms to make sure that this provision is implemented. So you will have, hence, the backlog on your invoices. That will also lead to under expenditure on your goods and services. That's the result of it. When it's partially compliant, there is a policy that guides the payment of suppliers within 30 days, but it's not implemented. So that's what the assessment will say. So it's partially compliant. Right. Quickly, on water affairs, the air travel and road travel trips, basically, here, what they were saying is that this is a savings. They've generated some savings from this one because they've cut down on it. But when you look at the expenditure, then it will reflect as an under expenditure in the report. It will be part of monies that are not spent. But when they come here, they will then elaborate and explain that, no, we have generated. Then the question for the committee will be to say, how much savings have you generated on your cost containment measures? Then they'll be able to classify that and say, no, actually, our under expenditure on this program is so much. The savings are so much. Then you'll be able to interrogate whether those are real savings or under expenditure. Because they've got a tendency of hiding under expenditure as savings and other way. So we had a debate, I remember, in the past with Treasury, in fact. We even, we were contesting the definition of savings that Mr. Brown was actually putting forward into the committee. So we need to be very vigilant on that one. The issue of over expenditure, setting off under expenditure. Yes, Honorable Senator Konyana, if you want to make sure that your overall expenditure on programs is 100%, you are going to have programs that have overspent and some that have underspent. Move money from those that are not able to spend, give it to those programs that are able to spend, so that overall expenditure will be 100%. But when you drill down, then you realize that the expenditure, is not balanced, it's not making sense. So some programs have not spent their whole budget, hence there will be an underperformance in terms of the performance target when you look at the annual report 2016-17, which is not yet out. And so, in these instances, you oftenly find what we call fiscal jumping. We only oftenly find much spike, because that is when it's a rush. There's a stampede in that period. Everyone wants to spend, because the running theme is about exhausting the budget. Spend it all. And you find people buying things that are not necessarily necessary and diverting money into things that are not necessarily part and parcel of the deliverables, which addresses the question by Honorable Makhlekhaule to say, what are the implications also of the shifting of money from one program to another in terms of the deliverables? So if you're shifting money from one to another, from one program to another, you are defeating the objectives of that program that has, because that program was funded based on its targets, based on its performance objectives. Now, the second part of it, which is unfortunate, Chairperson, is that you are amending the APP through the backdoor. The APP that was adopted by this parliament is being amended through the backdoor. Now, that in itself is an indication, as Honourable Member was saying, that the poor planning and the lack of planning becomes key and is reflected by these outcomes of expenditure patterns. Now, where there is poor planning or where there is no plan, a budget becomes a plan. That's what economists say. Budget becomes a plan, and that is very dangerous and risky, because you can't use the budget as a plan. You need to have a clear plan. If there was a clear plan, we should have, Chair, if we have 100%, achieve 100%, it's well and good overall. But we also have to go, when you go into programs, we've got to, when you analyze programs, we've got to find what you call a linear curve, where all programs have actually spent 100% of their budget. Then that's pure good planning. That's an indicator. Conditional grants, Chair, we agree. The conditional grant issue, if you look at national departments, their budget is mainly consist of more than 90%, most of them consist of transfers, which are conditional grants, subsidies, and so forth. Those transfers go into entities, go into provinces, go to municipalities. So in a nutshell, technically, this means that this committee oversees the current payments budget as well as the CAPEX budget. That's what you're overseeing, which is less than 10% of the budget that you approve for the department. Then that calls for a shift in your oversight approach to say, how do we infuse these recipients of these transfers? Because these are the people who are spending this money that you are approving. This 6%, 8% that is spent on current payments, commission of employees, goods and services, and CAPEX by department is a drop in the ocean. I mean, you think about the Department of Social Development, where you approve 140 billion rand, and the majority of it, where does it go? It goes into SASA. How much of that is spent by the department itself? Very minimal. Cooperative governance, the same story. Basic education, the same story. You go on and on and on and on and on. Now, the shift in oversight is very necessary to say, how do we infuse provinces, municipalities, entities that are actually the recipients of these transfers, because they are the ones who are spending. So when you look at spend, when they come, they say, no, we spend 100%. And you say, no, we have not spent 100%. Why not? You have spent less than 10% of your budget. The remaining balance is spent by your recipients. What we often find on non-transfers, Chair, which is, as I'm closing, Chair, on this point, is that the non-transfer of funds is triggered by what they often call non-compliance of the recipients. The Division of Revenue Bill or the Division of Revenue Act outlines or set out certain provisions that the receiving entity must comply with for the accounting officers or for the transferring officer to release the funds. So if the entities are not complying or are not submitting their financial statements, their reports, their business report, how they have spent the money of the previous financial year, and so forth and so forth, the receiving entities withhold the money because that is the only tool that they can enforce compliance with the reception. So, and in some cases you find that transfer is so minimal such that the recipient is saying, no, I'm able to generate more funds and utilize them instead of being bogged down by the administration process of trying to comply with the provisions of the DORA to get such a small amount of money from the National Department. Those are the dynamics that the committee should be mindful of as it engages with the department. Thank you very much, Chairperson. We appreciate all the comments and so forth and so forth. In areas where we need to do much more research, we will certainly do so. But some of the questions, Chair, safe to say that are questions that could be better responded to by the departments themselves. We will be able to raise those questions in our analysis as we give the members the analysis in each and every meeting with the department. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Chair, we couldn't thank you much as the researchers because, you know, presenting before the committee, for us, we take it as a privilege, you know, and we really appreciate that opportunity, and we really try going forward to, you know, do more in-depth research. I think you've given us more areas to research. In fact, we found, I think, one of areas, you know, where we can do a proactive research coming out of this discussion and this analysis, you know, maybe just to share with you. I think what we will do is we'll look at the PFMA and its regulations, and we'll look at the Public Service Act and its regulations, and identify key clauses that are always or often transgressed by departments. We isolate those, and we also identify the serious transgressors, you know, and then so that the committee can invite these departments, because, you know, consequence management is about making sure that those specific footprints that are transgressed, you know, are protected. To make sure that someone who transgressed this, because there's a law, if it's transgressed, there must be consequences. So what we'll do to assist the committee, identify those key areas that are transgressed and the serious
transgressors, I don't want to say offenders, transgressors, and then the community will invite them and engage them. What has been done in terms of consequences? Because in terms of the PFMA, it's the accounting officer who must make sure. You know, if it's the accounting officer himself, then I think the executive, the authority, you know. And then what has been done, where things have not been done, we then force them to commit. And then we give them time frames. If it happens again, in a space say, of 60 days, we must see consequences. Because otherwise, it's a merry-go-round. Thank you so much.
All right. Honorable members, thank you very much for your attendance. Thank you, researchers, for the work that you're doing. Our support staff, thank you very much. We also wish to thank the people for their attendance and interest in the matters of SCOA. Thank you also. That's the liaison officer of the National Treasury at the back. Yes. No, not you. I know where you come from. Yes. Yeah. And the media, of course, we thank you for your interest in our work. Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned. We meet next week. APEC training. That's the invite. Yeah. The support staff will remind us as we go towards them. Thank you very much.